the Corner Table, a podcast about food and drink in Madison, Wisconsin, produced by the Capital Times. We are going week by week with Top Chef Wisconsin. We start with a mini recap, followed by guest interviews with folks involved with the show. I am your host, Lindsay Christians, food editor at the Cap Times. This week, I am talking to my good friend, Sarah Warner, who works with Destination Madison. Sarah and I share a love of food and theater and Top Chef, of course. Anyone who has met this woman knows she is just the best. Then I am talking with Adam Siegel, who is the award-winning chef and owner of Loopy and Iris in Milwaukee. If you've seen the first episode of Top Chef, you know that Adam's restaurant hosted the very first challenge of Top Chef Season 21. Spoilers follow for Episode 1, so catch up on Peacock or Bravo TV if you haven't seen it yet. Give a listen. Cheers! Hi, Sarah!
Hey, Lindsay, how are you?
I am doing great. We had so much fun at the premiere.
We totally did. It was such a blast. I can't believe that I got to go to something like that.
First of all, for people who haven't met you before, tell the listeners who you are.
My name is Sarah Warner, and I am the PR and communications manager at Destination Madison, and we are responsible for driving tourism, both business and leisure, to Madison, and in particular this year, culinary travelers.
How many seasons of Top Chef would you say that you've seen?
I mean, I think I watched the first 12, like, pretty, you know, thoroughly when it was on live and everything, and then it kind of fell off a little bit. And I was trying to think about why last night, because watching the premiere of this season, I was like, why did I ever stop watching this? Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I love food so much. I think it's like one of the most important pillars of community, and the way that the show explores it, we'll get into that, but it's so incredible. And I was thinking, Lindsay, we recorded a podcast back in 2017 about dinner and theater. So food is always at the forefront for us.
I love that. Yes, I feel like these are two things that we both love very much, and it is why we are friends.
Totally.
I have never done a red carpet before in my life. It was my very first red carpet. Did you get to see any of that? Because I know that you were working the room upstairs where all the appetizers and things were being passed at Discovery World.
I was kind of back and forth, and most of the time I was just kind of standing in awe watching all of the celebrities be interviewed by so many members of the media, and I felt like they were so gracious with their time, and I was so stylish, and watching everyone walk down the red carpet in their very beautiful clothing. I had never been to one either, but it was pretty remarkable.
So we finally got to see the first episode. It was really fun to watch it in a big room and hear everybody's reactions to things. Were there things that surprised you in particular that you were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that?
I thought it was really fascinating that they kind of split the one competition into three different types of dishes, because I think that would for me be really difficult to compare at the ends when they're so, so varied. So I guess that was a little bit surprising, but not really.
Did you have people you were rooting for right at the top?
Yeah, I think I did, but mostly because I saw them on the red carpet.
Seeing somebody in person like that makes you want to root for them, I think.
Definitely. I don't think I have a favorite yet. Of course, like, you know, we want our Wisco chef to dominate, but they all have like very unique stories, and I look forward to getting to know them better through the rest of the season.
I was reminded that the real cachet of this show is exposure, like is really just putting these people on a national stage and letting people get introduced to them. And I think the longer you stay on the show, the more time you have to do that and to build yourself up as a character. I immediately loved Michelle. I've talked about that already. She is incredible. She has the best smile in the whole world. I think so many of them are so charming. I even thought, like, there's a little sequence where Kevin is shopping and he's going kind of slow. And they play some, like, dee-dee-dee-dee, like, music underneath it. Like, oh, you know, we have this sort of long shopping sequence where he's just, like, looking at everything and thinking very carefully about which thing to choose. And you're like, I'm pretty sure there's a time limit on the shopping, right? Like, I think so.
Yeah, I did really appreciate it. It seemed like And I don't know kind of the logistics of how long they were together before this particular episode was actually filmed, but it seemed like they had a camaraderie right away, and they were really like kind and respectful to each other, which I loved to see.
I was really excited to see some of the B-roll, which I knew I would be excited about, but just seeing the sort of the drone shot come in and you see the Milwaukee rep and you see the bridges and it's just really beautiful shots. I am so looking forward to seeing that in Madison.
Yeah, we got like a snip of it, right? The flip of the Wisconsin on the top of the state capitol, the isthmus is beautiful. And I think our picturesque city is great. And thinking back to the characters and the development, we're going to see our cities in Wisconsin have these beautiful character developments too. And I do think that is going to inspire new travel to Wisconsin and Madison. Come to Madison.
Well, you were involved through Destination Madison in helping the crews and stuff, like when they were here, and just really doing a lot of the, I think of it as the grunt work, the kind of nitty-gritty, like, oh, this is just something fairly straightforward and simple that needs to be done. And so guess what? Destination Madison team, it's you.
It's us. I mean, we're so happy to do it. We're excited to partner on bringing this here because we love our city. We love our culinary community. And to share that story in any way possible, yeah, I'm happy to run to the transportation department to get signs and go figure out how to put them properly on the meters so that trucks can load in and film. Gonna do it.
I have started reading reviews of the first episode. I'm reading as many of them as I can. One of them that was posted on Eater mentioned that there wasn't a lot of Wisconsin in the first episode. They were like, it could have been shot anywhere. I wonder, did you feel that? Did you think that there should have been more Wisconsin in the episode? Would you like to see more Wisconsin?
I get the feeling, I haven't seen any other episodes beyond this one, but I get the feeling that we will see a lot more. And I think being the first episode, I noticed a lot of Wisconsin things. I noticed a lot of familiar restaurants to me in the city of Milwaukee. And in the opening clip, I of course noticed a lot of like what we see from skylines in Madison. And then at the end, kind of in the what to expect next week, we see some really exciting shots of very specific Madison places that maybe you just don't know about yet. So let's give it just a few more episodes for your Wisconsin fix person.
Are there challenges that you've heard are coming that you're particularly looking forward to?
Yeah, I am so stoked. I mean, we know it's on Reddit. I'm not violating anything, but that we saw these chefs test and shopping at our beautiful largest farmers market, which Tom on the Kelly Clarkson show called one in the best in the world. I gotta just shout that out. So I'm stoked for that one. And like we saw like them looking down from the rooftop of L'Etoile. So we kind of have an idea of what's going on there, right? I can't wait to see that episode. That's basically all of the details I have about it. But I love those farmers and our fresh produce and our connection to like nature here in Madison.
Yeah, I heard Tom talking about the farmers market, and I thought, I feel like I'm hallucinating. Like, this is not real. This is not really happening. These people that I have watched on television for this long can't actually be here. It's very weird. I don't feel like we're used to celebrity in Wisconsin.
No, I and that was kind of the funny part about filming or the filming when it was happening here, because like in LA and New York City, there's something happening all the time and no one even like pays notice to it. When something like that happens in Madison, Wisconsin, everybody's eyes go to filming and what's happening and why is it happening and how can I watch?
It's totally a different experience, I think, for them too, just to be met with that level of enthusiasm and focus, and people kind of freaking out about it, but in a really friendly way, because we're from the Midwest.
He did mention that too about the farmers market, that if you go the wrong way, you'll be politely told to turn around.
I'm really enjoying how Paul Bartolotta seems to be this one-man cheerleading squad for Top Chef and for Milwaukee and for Wisconsin. It's really pretty cool. Does something like this make your job easier, more fun, more challenging, just because there's more focus and you have to take so many more people around? Like, how's it been?
Well, it's been so much fun. I mean, as you kind of already mentioned, I love food and I love talking about food and I love sharing the culinary scene. not only like maybe the partners who we think might be involved, you know, in the filmings here, but in all of Dane County too. I hope like everyone sees benefit from this show highlighting our like super strong culinary community and connectivity. It makes my job really fun. I don't know. I get to just continue to like uplift this story of this important. I think it was really cool too, is that our culinary situation here is like so collaborative that I just am excited for everybody. And then I can't stop talking about it. As soon as I start with a travel writer or something sharing these stories, I feel myself speeding up and getting more and more passionate about it. And then they're like, oh, I want to talk to that chef or I want to check out that restaurant. So it's just great.
I feel like it gets hard to not information dump. Like, I get so excited that I want to say everything all at the same time. And it just comes out as this chaotic jumble. I need to find more. I need to get my elevator pitch for Madison Food down a little better.
Maybe we can work on that together because I
Yes.
do too.
Okay, we just need to check each other a little bit and be like, okay, these are the most important things. And I can't just say everything simultaneously. I love Kristen Kish as the new host. I feel like she has this approachability, but she's still very focused and very professional. Like, you can tell that she's taking it seriously, but she seems really friendly. I don't know. What were your impressions of her?
I do think, I mean, first of all, I love her style. I think like she is just like looks incredible all of the time. And yeah, I do think she feels very approachable, but like no nonsense also, which is great. And I think that is really helpful for the chef testants as they're going through this process to have someone they feel is kind, but also they're learning from.
I think her having that experience as being one of the competitors is so key because they often bring previous competitors back as guest judges, but never a continuous host. So that'll be kind of fun to see, I think.
Yeah, and you see some of the trailers of her talking about she loves when gets mixed up, messed up, you know, changed up, and she's excited for the season for some of the new competitions that are happening. And I think that is probably, I'm, you know, being kind of presumptuous, but probably exciting for her too, as coming from a chef testant now as a host, like seeing kind of the evolution of the show itself.
Yeah. It was kind of fun on the red carpet to try to ask her and some of the other folks too questions that they hadn't been asked 100 times before. Like, what's your favorite cheese? And like, what do you like about Wisconsin? Well, they probably like a lot of things, but they were also here doing a job. So their downtime is going to be somewhat limited. But yeah, a lot of them mentioned like, I love frozen custard and I'm excited to eat, as much as I can while I'm here, but it's a short amount of time. Hopefully people
And they
will
love the
be.
relish trays.
Oh my gosh, they love the relish trays. Do you think this could be some kind of a turning point? Like all of a sudden we'll see more investment in Madison or Milwaukee culinary stuff? Or I don't know. What do you think this could change?
I think we'll see, as you know, people traveling because they saw places on the show, which is incredible. So I think it will see an increase in visitors interested. You know, we know there's great food in the Midwest. People think of Chicago and Minneapolis, and I mean Milwaukee and Madison too, now are growing and growing and being, you know, more kind of noticed for that. I think it's good for the restaurants. I think they'll see some good, you know, excitement for folks coming in, and you know, hopefully other shows like this want to come and film here because of how incredible it is.
I mean, I hope it's not like Restaurant Rescue or one of those where people yell a
Oh no, yeah, not that.
lot. Are you going to be following the whole season?
I sure am, and I'm going to be following all everything that you're putting out too, all of your recaps and podcasts, and I'm so thrilled to be a guest on today. But I'm curious back to your comment about trying to think of questions to ask that haven't been asked. What was your process for trying to come up with something creative and unique?
I was listening to everybody else. So I really wanted to know, for example, from one of the chef contestants, he's got a Vietnamese background and he's from Georgia. And so I was asking him if it was challenging to make some of the cuisine that he likes to make using Wisconsin ingredients. Did he have to make creative substitutions? And he said yes. The other challenge, right, is that we can only talk about the first episode. So there's probably a lot of things that they'll be able to answer after these episodes air. So it is kind of, you sort of have to be a little bit vague at the top because you can't say, what was your favorite challenge that you did? Because they can't say it yet.
That's true. Well, I mean, that's a great consideration too, because look at our local chefs, look at Chef Tori using local ingredients in a creative way to do Korean inspired food, and Chef Jamie at Ahan using local ingredients to make like her family's food, Laotian food. So like we experience that here. We're so lucky in Madison to have so much culinary like that with such local ingredients.
Yeah. And it is challenging, right? Because sometimes they do need to get things that are not from here because it has to do with how something is made. But I'm always a little sensitive too, like when a judge will say, well, you know, there's not very much flavor developed, or, you know, this seems really rushed. And I'm like, you gave them 20 minutes. Of course it seems rushed. Like that's all the time they had.
No, like a whole chicken? Come on.
Well, hey, thank you for coming on and doing this with me. I am really excited to talk about the whole season with you as it goes.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
The Corner Table is sponsored by Garver Events. Come to Top Chef Wisconsin watch parties on April 17th and May 8th, held in the Garver Feed Mill Atrium at 3241 Garver Green. These parties are free and open to the public, with food and drink available from the Garver Lounge, Ian's Pizza, and Roleplay. On April 17th, Lindsay will host a pre-show chat with Shayna Robbins-Pappich of the Harvey House, starting at 7 p.m., with the episode airing at 8 p.m.
Up next, we've got my interview with Adam Siegel, chef and owner of Loopy and Iris in Milwaukee. We talk about what it was like when he first heard that Cruz wanted to film in his restaurant, and which of the challenges was the toughest for him to judge. Give a listen. Hello, welcome, Chef Adam.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for folks who maybe don't know Loopy and Iris, who maybe haven't heard of you yet, can you give us a little introduction to yourself?
Well, my name's Adam Siegel, and I am a chef here in Milwaukee for over 20 years. I am originally from Chicago, but came here to be the chef at Lake Park Bistro in 2000. And that's where I won the James Beard Award in 2008. In 2022, I opened up Loopy and Iris, which is a French and Italian Mediterranean themed restaurant. And I am super happy with what we've done here. You know, it's great to have my own restaurant now.
Nice. For people who don't know Loopy and Iris, you said it's a little bit Italian, Mediterranean. Can you give us a sense of the menu?
So I love French food. I love Italian food. I love the whole Mediterranean area of cuisine. So I didn't want to be held to one type of cuisine. So we do a little bit of French, a little bit of Italian, some Spanish even mixed in there. And it's the flavor profile that I really love. And, you know, the amount of healthy foods and fresh foods that you find in all these areas that really appeal to me. And I think that Milwaukee was in need of something like that. And it was fun to bring it to them.
What kind of went through your head when the crews, the producers of the show, said, we want to use your restaurant and it's going to be the first episode?
Oh, I was absolutely thrilled because, you know, to have your brand new restaurant being able to have it showcased on national TV, I mean, what better advertising is there than that? You know, and I was thrilled because I'm so proud of what we built here. It's an amazing restaurant. It's absolutely beautiful. It's big. It's over 10,000 square feet. And we were able to accommodate their needs for this first episode when they had all 15 contestants. And, you know, it was just absolutely such a thrill to know that I was going to be a part of that and that Loopy and Iris was going to be a part of that.
Your kitchen seems perfectly laid out for a challenge where the judges can watch.
I think when the producers came here and were doing their scouting of locations in Milwaukee and they saw that, I think that really caught their attention because I have that chef counter that diners can sit at. It eight people can dine there, and it's literally in front of the kitchen. And because the kitchen is a island kitchen, it people work all around on four sides. It really makes it unique and able to accommodate all the people that needed to be back there cooking.
It was really funny. I started watching in the episode last night, trying to see the camera people now, because they're so good at cutting them out. But there are some reflective surfaces in your kitchen, and you can sometimes see a camera person in the reflective surface.
I noticed that too. It's funny, but you know, that's part of the deal with these types of shows is that there are camera people everywhere, and you know, they need to catch so many different shots from so many different angles. And, you know, but it is quite amazing. There was like over 80 people in the restaurant that day just for the production. And to be able to be around here and see how many people were a part of making this all happen, but you barely felt that they were there, was really incredible.
The number of people running in different directions is just, it's so intense.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy because they didn't know where anything was. You know, it's all brand new to them.
Was it tough to keep the nature of your participation a secret for this long?
I wouldn't say it was tough. It was, you know, after a while, so everybody starts asking you and you know, you have a standard answer to give them, like, you know, I may or may not have been a participant in it, you know, as I may or may not have been a judge. I may or may not have been, you know, had my restaurant in there. But after a while, you just, you know, you smile at people and you just nod and you just like, you know, they know. They figure it out on their own.
Have you done any food TV yourself or thought about it?
I've never done any of those competition shows, really. I had been on Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations a long time ago when we filmed at Bacchus when I was a chef there. But, you know, outside of that, it was never anything that I personally reached for. I always wanted to be, you know, the chef who mentored and trained people and, you know, was able to reach the local community.
It seems like related but quite different to cook a fantastic plate of food for like a busy dinner service and cook a fantastic plate of food for a competition show in front of cameras.
Yeah, it's quite different. And I guess that for me, you know, it's, you know, the competition of things. I know what I'm good at. And, you know, in those competitions, you have to do things that you might not be great at or, you know, might not be in your comfort zone. And that's really usually not what it's about when you're cooking in a restaurant for guests or at your home. You're usually cooking stuff that's, you know, what your specialty is or what your passion is all about. So, you know, what they do is really truly incredible because they're throwing some curveballs, you know, to what they have to cook and how they have to cook it and where they have to cook it. And then you throw time constraints on top of that. It's quite a competition.
Yeah. What did you think of this first challenge, that first elimination challenge? It seemed almost deceptively simple to me to say, make a great pasta.
You want to know something? The more simple something is, the harder it is to do. So, you know, you can get caught up and say that something's going to be so easy, it becomes that much harder. And that's why I, you know, for the type of cuisine that I do, I don't have a million things going on my plates of food. I want to take what it is that I'm cooking and do it to the best of my ability without disrespecting the ingredients. So it's really important to me to keep things simple. And that's harder sometimes because it's harder to teach somebody that, like, you know, a few seconds of cooking this a little bit this way or that way is going to alter the dish completely, or, you know, a few degrees off and on the pan that you're sauteing something in is going to change how that the outcome of that product. So there's a lot to it being simple. With what they had to do with the pasta and the soup and the chicken, I think those are three perfect things for the first episode because, you know, it really made them have to show what it is that they would do in that moment. There was a lot of great plates of food that came out of that kitchen that night. There were some that were, you know, not so great, you know, but they all tried and they all did a great job, which was fun to see them, you know, working as hard as they did.
What of the three sort of the three areas, the roast chicken, the pasta, and the soup, which one was the hardest to choose a winner? Do you remember?
The hardest one to choose a winner for me was, I would have to say it was probably the soup, if I remember correctly. But, you know, when it came down to it, that pozole was just truly amazing. I could have eaten that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner that day had I been given a choice. But I thought that also what Dan Jacobs did was truly incredible and just had a great flavor profile. So that was one of the harder ones. And then on the pasta, you know, the ravioli with the ricotta that was made and the lobster, that one compared to the one that the squid ink pasta that I forgot the French chef's name.
Kevin,
yes, that he made. Those were two good dishes. But, you know, again, the technique behind that lobster pasta was, she did an amazing job.
It has to be tough to be sitting there as a judge, because it's a long time. I feel like the secret behind these challenges that look really fast, it's a really long time because they cut down a lot. And I wonder if it's tough to be sort of watching someone's technique or watching how some of these chefs are working and wanting to say, you should be a little further along, or I don't think that's going to work. Or
We noticed that with a few of them. You know, Tom called it out, and when the one pasta dough was being made a little bit late into the competition, and you know, it showed in the final result, and that's why, you know, that dish did not fare well for everyone. It was interesting to see how people judged their time and utilized their time. You know, to me the hardest one is the chicken, because, you know, to roast a whole chicken in a short amount of time, and, you know, you don't have, you're in an unfamiliar kitchen environment and you're sharing it with all these other people, you're bouncing off of one another and everything. I think that was like the hardest of the challenges, because of just making sure that you did a chicken, you know, roasted as close to perfect as you could in that quick amount of time, and to do, you know, the make a composed dish out of it. That was a true challenge.
In the same way that you sometimes hear of an omelet being a test of a chef, I have heard that the chicken dish is a test of a restaurant.
Yes. Well, they say that's true for a chef as well. Like, you know, to make an amazing roast chicken is the, you know, shows the true quality of a chef, is one way that you could look at it. And it's really important, because it's something that could be so basic, but yet it's very difficult to do properly. I will tell you that my wife makes one of the best roast chickens there is. So I'm lucky at home. She makes great roast chicken.
One of the very first dishes that I thought, I have this down, was the Zuni Cafe chicken with bread salad. And it's like a 4-page recipe in the cookbook. And I mean, it's a very good roast chicken, and I make it pretty well now after this many years of making it, but it's also a 3-day process. I salt it on Thursday to cook it on Saturday. Like, I don't, you know, it takes time, and I want it uncovered in the fridge for some of that time, so the skin gets dry. Like, I can't do that in that amount of time that they had.
You're not able to brine. You're not able to cure. You just have to make sure that you season it right and that you cook it at the right temperature and you take it out at the right times, and then you break it down the proper way. You know, it's a lot to do in a short amount of time. And if you're not experienced with it, or you're not well versed at, you know, preparing chicken, because not everybody always does that in restaurants these days, it's something that could throw you off.
Totally. I wonder, were there things in the kitchen, in your kitchen, that the Top Chef crews had to bring in specifically, or did they mostly use all of your tools?
So they used a lot of, well, they used all the main kitchen equipment, like the ovens and the stoves and everything, but they did bring in, especially they needed to for the chicken challenge, they brought in some extra tabletop convection ovens. They had some of their own pans and, you know, pots and pans. They used a little bit of mine. But they do bring in a lot of their own equipment, because they want everybody to have the same uniform equipment, so that that's not something that somebody could say, well, you know, they had better stuff than me because they grabbed this from the restaurant first. So they bring in all the same cutting boards. They bring in all the same, you know, sauce pots and colanders and strainers and all that stuff.
Was it your responsibility to staff up all of the support staff?
They asked for some of the staff for some of like the wait staff was all from my team for this episode. And it was, you know, it was great to be able to support, you know, to have them be a part of it. So a couple of my of the managers of Loopy and Iris were involved, and then a couple of the servers were involved, and they didn't want too many other people because of keeping everything quiet and as few people as possible. I had a couple of my chefs here with me to just in case there was any questions about the kitchen or anything like that. And that was it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here and for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me on.
This has been the Corner Table Top Chef Wisconsin. Our podcast is produced by the Capital Times and me, Lindsay Christians. Our music was composed and performed by Patrick Christians. Dylan Brogan edits the podcast. For more Top Chef content, visit captimes.com for weekly show recaps. And if you haven't seen episode 2 yet, you can still draft a Top Chef Fantasy League. We've got details for how to do that up now. Our first watch party is coming up at Garver Feed Mill in Madison on April 17th. For more food news, subscribe to the Corner Table newsletter, which has news and behind-the-scenes info you will not find anywhere else. Until next week, cheers!